Welcome to Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. I'm Matt Smith. That is Rob Williams. You will find us here every Friday, and you're going to find us on the Varsity Club message board at fourquarterfriday.com 7 days a week. We are a fortnight from kickoff here in the Palmetto State, a week from the Jamborees. Preseason camp is rolling. Rob Williams picking up a lot of intel. I'm picking up a little, but his is always better. We'll give you what we can over the next hour, but you will find everything at fourquarterfriday.com. We are currently running a special promotion at membership for the whole year, $2.49 per month. And you may ask, well, what do I get? Don't forget, this is an On3 Rivals subscription. So jump on this. You get us, you get On3, you get Rivals, all of it for $2.49. We have pleaded, we asked, hey, listen, give our people the flash sale to end all flash sales, and we've got it. So we need you to head on over to fourquarterfriday.com. Jump on this now. Today's show is going to feature a preview of the Palmetto Games in Sumter, the baseball showcase put on by the DiamondProspects.com. We're also going to talk about which teams might be undersold by the Massey ratings, or are the Massey ratings perfect? We'll have to debate that. And we've got an interview coming up with Irmo head coach Aaron Brand. You don't want to miss that. Let me tell you, he can coach and he can talk. So he's going to do a little bit of the talking with us here today, but we will begin with Rob Williams and what you just have heard, my man, in the last week. Welcome in. Good to see you again.
Always, Smitty. It is great to be here in the Hewitt Amadeus Law Studio, HDLawSC.com. Make sure that you call Brad and Dean for all of your personal injury needs. If you have an insurance claim, a dog bite, you fell down some steps, doesn't matter. You call them.
I've had all those things.
You're going to talk to Amanda first, and she is an angel, and she'll get you squared away, and then you will talk to Brad or Dean. It will not be some random person that's not in the name. Hewitt or Domodoros will get you taken care of. Again, that's HDLawSC.com. And Smitty, you're right. We are underway. You mentioned Jamborees next week, 2 weeks from kickoff, but they kicked it off last night, Smitty, because the scrimmages have begun just a few days into practice, and teams are going. I've got the list here up. You can see me kind of looking to the side. My dual screen has a list. It's too many to remember, Smitty. There was some bad weather yesterday that took out a couple of those scrimmages, but you know, I don't, there's no way I have them all here, but we have a few. I know that Clover was rained out. Lakewood traveled up to Columbia yesterday. That one was rained out. But some other ones here, South Aiken and Lexington got it going yesterday. I know that Woodland was in action. Goose Creek was in action down there in the low country. Up here in the Midlands and the upstate, Dorman got some action against Blythewood and Dutch Fork. So some really, really quality clashes there. The Bengals hosted Gaffney and Hillcrest. Last night, Smitty, Gaffney and Hillcrest, a real opportunity. Don't you talk about undersold in the Massey ratings? I'll mention Hillcrest there. We'll come back around to that one later. Burns got some action in last night. I know Indian Land was in town. There were three teams there. The third one escapes me at the moment. South Point went up to Charlotte to Providence Day. Coach Bobby Collins talked about the Power Four opponents, or the Power Four players that are on that Providence Day team. And so a good test early for South Point to kind of see what they've got. Union County hosted something last night. JL Mann was in town. The rain got out of Union County, and they were able to get that one going a little bit late. AC Flora went down to Aiken, and then Bearwoods and Westside hosted Powdersville. So, and that's just a few, Smitty, just a few. And man, we're getting continued. Everybody got some work in. It was, you know, we got some more on Monday, and then we got Jamborees coming up next week as well. I will be at the McDonald's Classic on August 10th. That is Monday. That one's at Woodruff. And then Football City USA kickoff on Friday, where South Point and Rock Hill will both host out-of-state opponents, but Northwestern will face off against Ridgeview. When you mentioned top 10 Massey rating, matchups. There's a lot coming up, but there's a lot already happening, Smitty. So you do need to be on fourquarterfriday.com because the intel comes in almost on a daily basis as these scrimmages are now in place. This is a unique time of the year because we have quote-unquote game action, team on team, good on good, happening at a much more frequent clip than we will even once the season begins, Smitty. Mm-hmm. On Four Quarter Friday, we show up at 9 a.m. to preview what's happening that evening. But right now, we've got scrimmages happening on Thursdays. We've got scrimmages happening on Mondays. We've got jamborees happening on Fridays. You only get a couple of days in between there before you get more updates on which position groups are strong for this team, who's winning that position battle, what might be a weakness for a championship contender. We've got it all, fourquarterfriday.com, just $2.49 a month. $30. Pay your $30 right now, and you won't pay again until we're talking about football in 2027.
What do you make of the Monday Jamboree? That one is coming so fast. How much can really be said? I mean, a lot of these jamborees, we see it every year. You know, they don't have the logos on the helmets. The names sometimes aren't on the back of the jerseys. That's so early. What kind of turnout do you expect? And what do you think the coaches can learn on a Monday night like that? That's interesting. Well,
you know, it's at Woodruff. So I think that It will absolutely be a good turnout. There's a lot to look at with Woodruff specifically because obviously Aiden Gibson, middle of the summer, decides that he's going to forego his senior year, head on up to Rutgers. And so who will become the focal point of that offense? Is it Curtis Bell? Is it Makai McClintock? You know, who is it that's going to get the lion's share of the touches? How much more now is on the quarterback position? With a back like Aiden Gibson.
I'll tell you, a lot. Yeah, you have to throw the game plan out. You had to think it was going to be Gibson left, Gibson right, Gibson up the middle. And then, and the rest of it didn't matter. It didn't matter if you were talented on the outside. It didn't matter if you felt like your quarterback was underrated. All of those things, you knew you were going to have to ride Gibson. And now, but here's what I would guess. I would just wager Woodruff has guys that can carry the football. The offense may change in terms of how many carries, whether it's going to be one guy, whether it's going to be by committee now. All those things may shift. But Woodruff has always had a guy to tote the mail. Back to Timothy Meredith and before. They're going to have a guy.
Sure, I agree. And Connor Davis is a senior at the quarterback position. So he brings experience. He understands Brett Sloan's offense. So I think that you'll see something there, Smitty. And I do think it's early, but I love the idea of this Monday Jamboree, because it gives an alternative to the 47 jamborees that are happening next Friday night.
That's an estimate, by the way. That's just an estimate.
Yeah, it is.
It's not news.
It's an opportunity to get a few, and we'll have more announcements about those coming out on fourquarterfriday.com as well. You can already find some of the lineups and times and announcements there. We're going to continue to get those out as they come to us. Monday just kind of gives you an opportunity to get out there and see these teams in action and then see a different set of teams on Friday. So it's going to be great for me, and I'm looking forward to bringing some scoop once we see them actually on the field. If you're not in the Woodruff area, or maybe you're busy because it is a Monday night, don't worry. We got you covered. As far as helmet stickers go, I'll report back on that first and foremost on the Varsity Club.
Okay, it's on the board. All right,
it's premium content, Smitty. Premium content. Do we have stickers? Are they straight? Do they have wrinkles in them? Which assistant did we put in charge of putting these stickers on there? You know.
All right, we've got Aaron Brand coming up in a few minutes. Irmo head coach again. fourquarterfriday.com. The message board. The special is happening right now. $2.49 per month. That's an On3 Rivals subscription. Get it. The world opens to you. So you want that. Do you have a favorite uniform, Rob? Because, you know, we're going to see so many. Ooh. We're going to see so many, in the next few weeks. Do you have? I'm partial. I don't know that I can, like, nail it down, but when you see the highlights on television? Because, you know, I'm always at a game. And so there's certain pockets of the state that you don't see as much. And I always thought Daniel popped because of those powder blue.
They do.
Jerseys with the gold helmets. I always thought, like on the, you know, the highlights, you catch the late night, Friday night blitz, the highlights. I thought Daniel, when they popped up in the home jerseys, the powder blues, I said, oh, I'd like to see those in person one time.
Okay, look, I'm a similar one here. When you think powder blue in college football, Smitty, and you talk about great college football uniforms, is there a school that comes to mind, maybe in the SEC, that whips it out every now and then?
Oh, you're talking about Ole Miss.
Yes. So the Ole Miss style uniform in the state of South Carolina would be AC Flora. So
those are strong. South Florence.
South Florence looks really good.
South Florence looks good. Yeah, I agree. Those are good. Okay, but here's actually what got me thinking about it. What else I like that we do in the state, a lot of the – so this happens in college football as well, but I'll take it to the high school level in South Carolina. You have two kinds of schools. I'll give you Somerville because we talked to Ian Rafferty, head coach for the Green Wave, about this. The two kinds of uniforms, either they let you know where you've been or that we're coming.
Yep.
And Somerville wears the uniforms that's where we've been. This is the same uniform that AJ Green wore, because that's who we are. That's where we've been.
Yep.
These uniforms have that championship odor on them. And then you've got other teams that want to change it up a little bit, and, you know, new coach, haven't had a lot of success. And they say, so they might revamp the uniforms or go, you know, cutting edge, because they say, hey, we're coming. We're coming. We're all about next. We're next. And so anyway, that's kind of what got me thinking about that is I mentioned, you know, you got the Woodruff Jamboree coming up on Monday. And man, they are maroon. They will go maroon head to toe sometimes. They will go. It's like the maroon helmets, some maroon jerseys, little light piping maybe, some numbers. And then they are deep, deep, deep into that maroon look. And that is, but that's awesome, because when you're on the way to the game, you know what you're going to see. You know what they look like. So anyway, maybe if you've got a favorite, maybe that's something we'll jump on. We'll stir that up on the Varsity Club message board, because for me, what's cool about not the details necessarily of the uniform, because those can change over time, but is your school a this is where we've been school, or is this a hey, we're next kind of school? I came from Dorman. Dorman was a we're next. Now they've been established for a long time, but when Coach Gutshaw kind of got there, they hadn't been a lot of success in previous years. You know, they had Terry Wilburn and Vance Hammond and some of that, but they couldn't stand up to what Gaffney and Spartan High were doing. And Dorman kind of changed the uniforms a little bit, and they've changed them over the years because they've always been a we're next school, whereas Gaffney's always been a this where we've been school, 18 state championships.
Well, you mentioned that where we've been and we're next, and I'll say this one final thing on the Woodruff McDonald's Classic Jamboree on Monday. Westside and White Knoll will be featured in that jamboree at 7 p.m. They're kind of sandwiched in the middle there. It starts with Newberry and Fountain Inn at 6 and then closes with Greenville and Woodruff at 8. But that Westside White Knoll matchup, you talk about the Massey ratings, you're going to get to see a little something there early on, Smitty, to kind of see temperature gauge on a couple of these programs that have high expectations. First year under Victor Floyd at White Knoll. And then you know what's happening with Brian Lane, Bear Woods and company up there in Anderson. So very interesting. Wait, look.
I can pull it up. Again, it's fourquarterfriday.com. You may have it, Rob, because you've written a couple of stories, really good stories on this, about where is White Knoll? Because I think they're difficult to gauge, right? New head coach,
yeah.
Transfers coming in, transfers going out. I think they're a tough one to put your finger on. What do the Massey ratings say about White Knoll in our fourquarterfriday.com?
They're number 11. So, okay. So they're pretty high, and I think that kind of catches some people off guard. Nick Pelham had really built something over there the past few years. He took the head coaching job at Lake Wiley, brand new school in the state of South Carolina, splitting off from Clover. And so that brings Victor Floyd over, built a championship program at Chester, been there for a long time, won state championship in 2018. Now he's at White Knoll and gets an opportunity to do something there with the Timberwolves. I think that, you know, the intel that we've gotten, and I've had this in a couple of pieces on fourquarterfriday.com, coaches around the state have commented on the quality of coach that Victor Floyd is.
Right.
So I don't see, I think the general expectation is, oh, it's a coaching change. I've seen this a few times. We got this with BHP as well. I answered a question about this yesterday. Somebody asked me what to expect from them. We'll get to them on the Massey ratings too. Another coaching change. Okay. So I think the general consensus is when a coach moves on, even if it's retirement or gets another opportunity, it wasn't like coaches were fired in either of those situations. Well, maybe they'll take a step back. They're going to have to take a year to recalibrate and get this new staff here. And what do they want to do? I don't know that the steps are going to be as far back as what maybe some people think on a couple of these schools. White Knoll being one of them.
Tough region.
But
Very difficult region with the reclassification. And that's another thing we'll have to wrap our heads around is the way the schedules have somewhat shifted. Now, a lot of these clubs are playing teams. They're kind of playing the same teams. It's like their old region foes are now their non-region that they're playing in September. And the teams they used to play in September, they're playing in October. That has happened, you know, in a few pockets there. But I'm like you. I just kind of have faith in Victor Floyd, and there was no reason. There's not a reason you can point to other than it's a new coach. That's all you've got is new coach. Is White Knoll going to be any good? Most of the answers are in the pro column, not very many in the con column. It's just that one thing. It's hard to wrap your head, hey, can a new coach do this? But here's the thing. Now with the way players are transferring across the state, almost everybody is having this. I mean, we're about to talk to Aaron Brand. He's working with new players. He's got some new guys at Irmo that he has to get into the fold and get playing that yellow jacket style of football. He's got players that we all expect they're going to contribute and this team will challenge for a state championship. But guess what? They didn't play JV ball at Irmo. They haven't run that playbook yet. So it's all going to happen. And by the way, that's going to happen next week in Jamborees. And that's why you got to jump on fourquarterfriday.com so that you get to see everything that we see. Everybody that is a part of our staff that is covering things at fourquarterfriday.com, we're going to put it on there for you. So you go to a Jamboree, we'll go to a Jamboree, and then we'll meet back at the Varsity Club message board. We'll take a break here. Leading Edge guest line heating up. Aaron Brand will join us next, and he can flat talk about it. And we're going to ask him about the showdown with Rock Hill, and we're going to talk to him about that team, the new players he's got, what's happening at the quarterback position, and more. That's coming up. That'll be on the Leading Edge guest line. Smitty and Rob in the HD Law Studios on Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. This is Four Quarter Friday and fourquarterfriday.com. Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. And on the Leading Edge guest line, we have got Aaron Brand, who has authored 37 wins in the last three seasons. Everybody expects them to challenge for a state championship again this season. Coach, welcome to Four Quarter Friday. We're so glad to get a check-in with you before the season begins.
Guys, I appreciate you having me.
Coach Brand, I think that the biggest talking point that we obviously have to start with is this roster. If we start in the here and now and zoom in, immense talent across the group. Obviously, there are names on this roster that people are going to know across the state and also across the nation with guys like Jaden Bryant and Nate Carson, Ty Phillips, and the like, right? But we know that you have a star-studded group all the way through. Can you talk about how this group maybe compares to some of the groups you've had in the past? Because you've had a lot of talent over the course of your career, but could this be the most talented team?
Could this be the most talented team? That's a great question. Well, it's not the deepest team, and where we struggle at, but we try to fight our way through it is we played two back-to-back state championship games with less than 35 people dressed on our sideline. And we're not complaining. It's kind of the way we want it because it's hard. And everybody can't stay on this boat that we got going on, man. And some people have to miss the trip every now and then, and some people can't always take the ride. We don't have a lot of players. but we do have good players. And 22 for 22, we think we can compete with just about anybody in the state. We lift every day. We get after it. We condition well, and we've stayed healthy for the most part the last 3 years. So when you talk about, you know, the amount of wins we've gotten, yeah, sure, that's great. But as you guys know, like I know, nobody, hardly anybody remembers second place, you know, and we aim to get away from that, right? We aim to get out of second place and find our way into first place. And we've got a group of guys. I don't want to call us a really good team yet. And I think you guys have heard me say that, because we're not yet. All right. We're sure these guys are battle tested as players. All right, I'd like to see us fight a little bit harder when the chips get down, and they haven't gotten down much in the last couple of years. But I'd like to see us fight our way out of this little championship winning funk, and until we get to the top of it. So,
Coach, I wasn't aware.
But to answer your question, is this okay? I'm sorry. Just real quick, just to answer your question, is this the best team we've had? I don't know. I don't know. I guess AJ senior year with Murph and those guys. No, it's not the best team we've had. It's the team that went down to South Florence and lost that close one in the lower state championship. I guess that's been 4 years now, where we had guys like Jaden Allen Hendricks. We had guys like John Leo Favor, who was the leader on our defense, and we had Murph and we had AJ, and we were a little bit deeper, but we were at least good in 30 different spots then. So we had at least 30 really good players. We're 22 for 22 right now. We're pretty good, but we're trying to create some depth along the way. If we can create some depth and stay healthy, man, we got a real good shot.
Coach, I wasn't aware at those numbers that you just mentioned, having to be 35 players on the sideline trying to win a state championship. Does that affect what you do in season? Yeah. You know, can you let Jaden Bryan and Nate Carson go head up in practice knowing that those are your numbers?
Yeah, I mean, but I just don't know any other way. I don't know how to really let up. We've done a good job of trying to keep the likes of those guys healthy, but you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go, and we pride ourselves, and like I said, we lift our way through pain. All right, and I make sure our guys know the difference. All right, and I want everybody to take this now. I make sure our guys know the difference between being hurt and being injured. Being hurt means you got to go. All right, being injured means we're going to care for your injury. We're going to go through a process to get you better. But if you're hurting, you're playing. Having to depend on somebody that we never thought we would have depended on this early, or even at this point in their career. But, you know, it's part of it. We're not the only team that had 35 players in a championship game. We might be the only 5A team at that particular time for back-to-back years, you know, that had that. But we don't care, you know. And if you know me, Rob, especially, you know, I don't make a whole lot of excuses, man. I just we're gonna line up, because you can't put but 11 on the field at one time, and we're just gonna go to war. So it does affect how we practice a little bit, but it does not affect how we play football games.
Coach, you mentioned that you were in 5A previously, now 4A. Can you talk a little bit about what that move means for the program and how you kind of see the landscape of the state now with so much realignment in 2026?
Well, I think 4A matches our numbers a little bit better. It matches the amount of people we'll probably dress. I think what really helps us, and I hate to admit it, but the new four-quarter rule really helps us too, where we can enhance our sidelines just a little bit and be able to keep some of the guys like Jaden Bryan. You know, Jaden Bryan and those guys, they've had to play the whole game, you know, since he's been at Irmo. You know, and like I said, we've always started out with more people, but it's hard. And it's hard. It's like a college situation where sometimes it's easy to get in, but it's harder to stay in. And that's kind of the situation we've got too, man. You've got to do a lot of stuff right during the course of the year. to be able to stick around and make that playoff roster and continue on with us throughout the entirety of the season. We don't think we're super disciplinarians or anything like that. We don't try to jump out the window with it, but there is a standard that you have in order to stay around with us and in order to continue to compete with Irmo Athletics, not just Irmo football, with Irmo Athletics in general, but more so today, Irmo football. So, you know, having that amount of people, you know, we never went into it using that as a crutch or using that as an excuse. Sure, you like to have more people, but the groups we've been able to put out there have been super competitive, you know, for at least the last 5 years. And it's something we've kind of hung our hat on. You know, when you play us, you know, we don't lose a lot of home games. You know, when you play us, it's going to be a dogfight. You know, we're going to move that tight end around. We're going to run behind him. We're going to run away from him. We're going to do a bunch of stuff that's going to challenge you, you know, to a man. All right. We're going to see initially how tough you are. All right. And if we sense weakness, we're going to be like sharks in the water.
Coach, I want to hear more about that because now you are somebody's going to be a new quarterback. You'll have a new quarterback. So tell me what you think this offense might look like and where you want to hang your hat going into the season.
Wow. I tell you what, since you know, I hadn't hung my hat on anything since number one left us. All right. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to balance. I tried to be balanced. Even when number one was here, I tried to balance us out offensively. We don't do it. We don't mean it to be like this, but we've been around 50-50 for the last 3 or 4 years as far as run pass. And we want to try to keep that balance going and try to keep other teams thinking we're going to do something and we're not. You know, it'll be 3rd and 12. We're running for the first down on just regular power. All right. It'll be 2nd and 2. You know, when a lot of teams are trying to move the chains, we're throwing the ball down the field for the touchdown. So we're trying to keep you off balance, but keep us balanced at the same time as far as running pass are concerned. And we've got a quarterback we think that's got a bunch of talent, a bunch of good high major college characteristics. He's got a long way to go. He's got to mature. He's got to get in the fire. You know, he hadn't been in the fire before. You know, he played a lot in the Dutch Fort game last year, but that was in an attempt to, you know, try to get us back in, and he did a good job doing it. But, you know, his plate's full this year. But he's got some weapons around him. But his plate's full. He's got to make sure he's mature throughout the school day, throughout the weekends, and then when he comes back on Monday and Monday through Friday, he's got to be the guy that leads this team offensively. So it's a big task. We like to tell him a lot of times, you know, this is the being the quarterback at Irmo is the second most prestigious position in the state behind the governor. And we've gotten these guys to kind of buy into that mode or that scene, and these guys feel real good about themselves, and in turn they've typically for the last couple of years especially been able to go out and play well.
You're talking about Britton Davis, I'm assuming, there at the quarterback position. Around him, obviously, you have Phillips in the backfield. I've talked to Ethan Singletary several times, and he speaks every time about the team speed on offense. Can you talk about how fast these guys are and how you plan to utilize all of that speed?
We are fast. But we're unproven. You know, we've gotten a system, and I like – this is the part I like now that nobody will ever admit that they do like. I like the fact that it's Ethan's turn now. I like the fact that it's DeMarion Arrington's turn now. You know, these guys have waited kind of in the shadows of some people that have been in front of them. Ethan was the third receiver starting with Don Murph senior year, but we weren't throwing the ball to Ethan over Donovan Murph. You know what I mean? So Ethan's waited his turn. He had a great latter part of the year last year. He had a tremendous, tremendous offseason. And now it's his turn. The same with DeMarion Arrington. You know, he was the other starter last year at the wide receiver. But now, you know, these guys kind of have to step to the forefront. All right. They have to take on more of a playmaking role. You know, it was just, you know, a lot of it was decoying.
you know, the last couple of years. Now these guys are front runners. Now these guys or front row people. I'm sorry, not front runners. They're front row guys, and now that they're expected, not hoping, guys. They're expected to perform, and you know, they and I feel good about what they bring to the table. And we are fast. We are fast, but we're fast, and we got to be able to. You know, we got to be able to run and stop too now. You know, straight ahead speed is fine, but football is a game that you got to cut. You got to run fast and stop. And if we can do those things, man, the speed will really be a benefit to us.
Well, Coach, that leads us into an early season showdown for you against Rock Hill. And one of the things that is just, I don't know, I'm seeing it across the state is good on good. A lot of good clubs, you know, top flight teams playing early. You've got team speed. You said it's unproven, but you admit these guys can run. Well, Rock Hill, for as long as we've been alive, any of us, has defensive backs, and they've got them this time. So talk about that matchup that you think you foresee in a few weeks when you guys square up against Rock Hill, their DBs, your team speed.
Rock Hill is good. I think they're well coached. I think they are on the cusp of doing something great. But I'm going to let you know this. I don't think we're going to be the test dummy for Rock Hill. All right? I don't think this is the game, at least I hope not, that you're going to start your momentum on. We're hoping and we're expecting for that momentum from Rock Hill not to start until week two. They are a good football team. They've been known for being tremendous in the defensive secondary. We're gonna see how they do in the phone booth a little bit too, okay? All right. We're gonna test their manhood early. We're gonna see if they'll stay in front of us. And if they can, then you know it's gonna be a dogfight. If they cannot, it's gonna get ugly.
Coach, Smitty mentioned there about Rock Hill's defense. I wanna talk a little about your defense. Obviously, Jaden Bryan is the headliner there on the front, but your secondary has a couple of names there too with Grissett and Arrington and that crew. Can you talk a little bit about you said the team overall isn't that deep, but when I was at practice with you in the spring, maybe the secondary looks like a group that I would say has a little bit of depth. What are your thoughts on the back end of your own defense?
Listen, you know I don't give people that cover the pass a lot of credit now. These guys, hey, listen. These guys are good, man. They cover us up daily. And they're led by Jamar Gassett. You know, Jamar's got elite ball skills. He's a great kid. He's a 3-year starter. He's an App State commit. He's done it the right way since he's arrived at Irmo. You know, the guys that are you know, back there with him, Zion Gates and Antoine Pierce and Jaden Arrington, like you talked about earlier. These guys right here, these guys are just ball hawks. That ball's in the air. If you're not coming down with it, we're expected to come down with it or at least be incomplete. But these guys are hunting that football. And then when, you know, those guys that are being more of the finesse type players back there, you know, you got C.J. Kearns, who's also back there for the third straight year. And boy, second straight year as a starter, and he's just bringing lumber. You know, he's waiting on somebody to kind of, you know, old school Atwater type atmosphere. You know, where he's going to try to take you. You know, he's going to try to knock your faces off. All right, and so he's our enforcer back there. But that group's led by Jamar Gassett, and I think he is elite in the middle of the field.
Coach, let's zoom out for one more question here.
Okay.
As I would say you are one of the faces of high school football in South Carolina with the amount of success that you've had over the past several years. Can you talk about the state of the game right now, high school athletics in this state? So many changes. You mentioned the four-quarter rule. We just saw the – obviously transfers have really picked up in the past few years. We just got the senior transfer rule changing last week. Can you just talk about the overall state of athletics and football at the high school level in this state? Is it moving in the right direction? What changes would you make?
Well, I think it is moving in a good direction. The state of the game has changed. I can honestly see why some of the older old school coaches, and I'm somewhere in between right there, some of the older old school coaches are trying to, you know, go do something else now because the game's changed so much from what older personnel's used to. You know, and You know, I don't know whether it's good or bad. I've always been one to just kind of be able to adapt and adjust. But even for myself, it's changing just a little bit. When you can start disciplining a kid, or you can start, you know, teaching a kid how to be a young man because he doesn't have great stuff at home. And then when one day he or she comes in a bad mood, or, you know, their parents are becoming more of their friends than the leaders of their household, then you get situations like, you know, where kids can just kind of make their own decisions and run across the street or run to another place or, you know, do something like that. And so when it happens like that, it's a little bit difficult to understand. But, you know, I guess you can't really stop a family if they're legitimately moving, going somewhere else and you know, wanting the best for their kid. But when the kids are allowed to do it, you know, without parental consent, or when the kids are allowed to do it and the parents just catch the wind of it or the end of it, and all they're doing is signing off on stuff, that's not right. That's not teaching your young man how to be an upstanding citizen, or teaching a young man what life is going to present for him later on down the road.
No doubt, Coach. I think we're all on board with that. Hey, we are all looking forward to seeing your team play. Rob is not far from you, so you can expect him at Irmo High School this year, and to see all those talented, but as you said, talented but unproven. We're going to find out, and yeah, we'll see if you can chase the championship this year. Coach, thanks so much for joining us on Fourth Quarter Friday.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate this. This was fun, and I love y'all's theme song too, man. Even the one, the part on Instagram that goes real short, and then what I got to hear today, man, that's fire.
We appreciate it, Coach.
We love hearing that. It gets us hyped every time. We had to have something.
Me too, for some reason, man. I don't know why. Yeah. Me too, for some reason.
Well, we talk to coaches every week, and I can tell you, players seem excited. Coaches are more excited this time of year. It's like you got to stop all your coaches from getting on the field and putting the chin strap back on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Listen, I got all these old big head coaches. They ain't getting back out there, man.
Listen. When Big Wright hits me up and wants a copy of this segment, I'm gonna cut that part out for him. All right.
Yeah. Listen, that's my guy. He gets after super football coach.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Take care, Rob. Take care, y'all. Take care. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back to Fourth Quarter Friday. This is the fourth quarter. Our first quarter today brought to you by Bill Maloney. And Bill Maloney. He takes care of Rob. I've told you before, Rob's a daredevil, four-wheeler, interstate. Bill Maloney, Farm Bureau Insurance. You can reach out to Bill, 803-637-6246. Our first quarter brought to you by Bill Maloney. We had Aaron Brand join us on the Leading Edge guest line. Jamborees are coming. Palmetto Games coming up this weekend. But, Rob, I want to make sure we get into this, which is, want to mention, at our website, fourthquarterfriday.com, right now, where you can become a member, the On Three Rivals family. Get it all. $2.49 per month. Incredible deal. We asked for it, and we got it for the state of South Carolina. So jump on that. fourthquarterfriday.com right now. Everything we're learning goes to fourthquarterfriday.com, and we're on the message boards with you, talking about it at the Varsity Club. But, Rob, two topics I want to try to get in here in the fourth quarter, which is some underrated teams. We have the Massey ratings up there on the left. We've got a beautiful homepage right now, really slick. We've got the Massey ratings up there, which go right now to fourthquarterfriday.com and get angry about where your favorite team is. If you're not Dutch Fork, go check it out. Get angry about that.
Hold on, Smitty, because they're angry too, because Northwestern's number one. And that puts Dutch Fork at two.
Not today.
And did it update since I've been up there? Sorry.
Yes, that's what I was going to get. That's what I was going to get to with you, Rob. That's what I was getting at. I want to know what the Massey ratings, so the formula, it's proprietary, right? It's like the kernel. Yep. 11 herbs and spices or 16 herbs and spices. You know, it's like, it's the Dr. Thunder formula, not a sponsor of Fourth Quarter Friday. I don't know exactly what goes into it, but what happened that Dutch Fork is now ahead of Northwestern? So some of these have shifted somewhat without a game being played.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, most of this is based on game data. So not so like in addition to roster, you're going to look at your margin of victory, etc. How bad, not only who you're beating, but how you're beating them. Think BCS. It's the same system that was in place for the BCS if you're a college football fan for all
the Massey years. Was a part of that. The Massey right. ratings were part of the computer formula for the BCS that everybody got so angry about. Now, but frankly, a lot of times those ratings have turned out to be much better than our opinion. You know, your eyes will lie. We know that. We know your eyes will lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers lie. We're just doing the best that we can. But the Massey ratings are up there. So, yeah, to me, I woke up this morning, I looked at it, and Dutch Fork is number one, Northwestern's number two. It also brings us to so maybe who jumps out to you, Rob, as you look at those ratings? And then also, you dug deep and got some of the toughest non-region schedules across the state of South Carolina. And for some of that, you kind of relied, you leaned on some of those underrated teams. Like, hey, you might not know, but they got whatever, a specific transfer, or they have developmental players, or it's year three under this coach, or whatever it may be. Whatever we've got that has led us to believe that some of these teams are underrated and some of these schedules are tougher. They're tougher on the field than they look on paper.
Well, when you look at the toughest schedules, Smitty, there's a few that just jump at you. We've talked about Dorman on here already, but every team that Dorman has in the non-region is ranked in these Massey ratings. So that is one that's really going to pop off in terms of tough schedules. But let's look at Massey to begin with here before we get into those schedules. And you mentioned teams that kind of stand out, right? That maybe people aren't talking about. We talked about White Knoll earlier. And that's probably the one in the top 15 that jumps the most. But at 15, you have James Island. James yep. Island has become one of those schools that is good at multiple sports. And I think that some coaches have given this idea to me that as the transfer market continues to increase. I want to say transfer portal, and I think a lot of people do, but it's not a portal because there's no portal to get into as mm-hmm. in college. So it's just a transfer opportunity. We need to figure out the correct terminology for that, I guess. Come up with our own term. We'll coin it. But you know, as transfers continue, schools are going to shift more into, well, this is a football school and this is a basketball school and this is a baseball school. They're going to specialize a little bit, Smitty. But there are a few still that don't have to do that, where we don't see that. James Island has become one of those schools. Baseball team won it again in 5A, state championship. We're going to talk when we get to basketball season about what's building down there with the Trojans on the hardwood. But this football team, speaking of the baseball state championship, features the catcher off of that team, Brady Dantzler, as the quarterback. And they've got some talent, Smitty. They've got some talent. They're one that
don't tell Jamar McCoy James Island is a baseball school.
No, no. And I mean, they have had a lot of success on the baseball field, but like, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I don't think you can really pin them
Mm-mm.
to a sport. Carolina Forest sticks out to me. We've talked about them a couple of times. We're going to have an update on them coming up here shortly on fourquarterfriday.com and probably some footage and podcast information there.
Let me go over. So, by the way, my two that I jumped out that I did not want to that I wanted to make sure got a mention as teams that I think could be underrated for various reasons by the formula before the season begins. One of them is Somerville at 7.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, here's the problem.
We'll find out fast.
Here's the problem. The six teams ahead of them are all established. They're all elite without argument, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So there's your issue is if you want to move Somerville up, who comes down? I looked over and again at what Coach Rafferty brings back.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. The Green Wave are good. They're going to be right there. But maybe you could argue – maybe, you know, among 5A teams, 6 to 8 teams are going to be right there. And so Somerville kind of fits into that group at 7. Somebody's got to be 7. But I think that could be potentially underrated. And I've mentioned Carolina Forest before. Carolina Forest in the Massey ratings at fourquarterfriday.com, 17th. But I look at it this way. Are you sure there are 16 teams that would line up and beat Carolina Forest? Because I am not.
I'm not either.
I'm going to read. Let me read. And we'll talk to Mark Morris next week. I'm going to read the last 9 games of last season for Carolina Forest in, up to their playoff loss. 40-27. These are all wins. 54-13. 45-12. 48-0. 49-7. 51-20. 49-0. 49-7. Before they finally lost in late November to Somerville, 29-28. I'm not convinced there's 16 teams that can line up and deal with what Mark Morris is going to do with his run game. And you heard those. They weren't doing that over the top. Carolina Forest was doing that. That was road grading. That was running the football for the most part.
And they got a little action in last night too, Smitty, and we're going to get, like I said, an update later on today, and we'll have that on fourquarterfriday.com. What does this Carolina Forest team look like? I just don't – you talk about earlier with the uniform conversation, and we had some great conversation over in our chat box there with – I know Harrison and Justin Hall both throwing out some uniforms. Justin Hall said is Airport, and I do think Airport has some pretty slick uniforms. They're making the logo change, I believe, but that's a conversation for another day. So you mentioned Carolina Forest is one of those next up type teams, right? Not where we've been, but where we're going type of deal. And so people forget about them, and there they are. That's why they fly so under the radar, Smitty. A couple of other ones that I would say, just kind of going through this list, T.L. Hanna at 20, I think, is really under the radar. I think they're probably rated about where they should be. Alex Whitman at quarterback, I think that they're going to have something to say about what's going on up in the Anderson area. We've talked to Chris Liner about Greenwood. Brian Renf and Camden is always going to be a tough one. And I mentioned Belton Honeypath earlier, but here's the one that sticks out to me, Smitty. Hillcrest is at number 24. They've got a coaching change as Bennett Swigert. We talked to him a few weeks ago, headed over to Clover. They promoted internally Amos Lamb, now the head coach, his first head coaching stint. They've put that group together. They had a scrimmage yesterday at Gaffney. Gaffney's number 9 on this list. Okay. Greenville County schools don't often get a lot of love in the big picture, right? My intel coming out of that is that Hillcrest got the better of the Indians. I'll have a little more detail on that fourquarterfriday.com later today, but I'm just not counting out Hillcrest yet. Who is in the Greenville area that gives Hillcrest a problem? Oh, wait a minute. Region 1 5A now includes one Spartanburg team, and that would be the Burns Rebels. So a clash coming up maybe between Hillcrest and Burns to capture a Region 1 5A, maybe not what everybody would expect coming out of the preseason. Burns with a loaded roster led by Trey Segura. But I wouldn't count out Hillcrest just yet, Smitty.
No, I think that's a good one. I think that's absolutely a good one. I'm not going to quibble too much with teams when they are going through coaching changes, because we don't know that a coach may look at his team and realize that they're young. And I'm not saying you don't, it's not like you don't put your best foot forward, but you may say, okay, we can have a developmental year. You know, there are those circumstances. But in this case, Hillcrest, as you know, brings a lot of pieces back, and they're just moving up from within. It's kind of like a coach, everybody just takes one step to the left, and then the same thing with the players. And they are building. They have built. It is built. A program there at Hillcrest.
I agree.
It's done. And I would agree with you. What you don't know is how all of these new regions necessarily, we have to go back and really parse, which is what we do at fourquarterfriday.com. That's why the website is so important. Parse the region schedules. Do these teams have time? Do they have time to build into who they will be? Or is it going to go in such a hurry that they're going to lose confidence early in the season with some tough non-region matchups? That's what we can parse. And of course, we'll have, you've had the toughest non-region schedules. Those are up there. I've got the top 10 showdowns up right now at fourquarterfriday.com. You can dig into that. We've got check-ins with all these coaches. We've got check-ins with Mark Morris coming up. And a little baseball note here before we leave. The Palmetto games are happening this weekend. And those are put on by our colleagues, the DiamondProspects.com. And I got a note here. I spoke with Austin Alexander from the Diamond Prospects this morning. This is happening at Riley Park in Sumter. So if you are, listen, anywhere and you love good baseball, get there. These are the best players in the state of South Carolina. Some of them committed, but most of them have not. You've got even as young as rising ninth graders all the way up. And this is a showcase. This is good on good, the best on the best. Because as you know, sometimes you go catch a really good arm in high school baseball, and it's kind of a soft lineup, and he mows them down. Not this time. Everybody can play. Everybody's good. The stands are going to be full of, people, two kinds of people. You love baseball or you're a scout. And that's the class of player that you're going to see. And listen, you don't even have to make it there. You don't have to make it there. There will be a live stream of the Palmetto games with all these great players. Trey Dyson, Banks Faulkner will be doing the call. It's on the Diamond Prospects YouTube channel. You can link to everything. You can just go to Palmetto Games, or I'm sorry, the DiamondProspects.com will have the Palmetto Games Central. It's going to have the scores. It's going to have what's happening. It's going to be how to get there. Support that one way or the other. And we're certainly going to do that. We're going to get you updated. We're going to make sure you know where to go, how to get into the gate. And then next week, I'll talk with Austin Alexander and we'll wrap all this up because they've got fall baseball coming up. But what we've got coming up is a special at fourquarterfriday.com, $249 a month, 75% off. Do it now. Come be a part of it. We won't find a better deal in town limits, right, Rob?
And it ends August 12th. So before you see us on the air again, that deal will be gone. It is a flash sale. Get it done right now. Send it to your family, your friends, your teammates, your alums. This is going to cover your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, and the schools that you love. So make sure that you go right now and subscribe at fourquarterfriday.com.
Yeah, and tell a friend. Tell a friend. You know, if you love high school football, guess what? There's people in your life that do as well, and high school sports in general. You're going to get it all covered. All right, final thought, Rob?
Well, you mentioned high school sports, and I'll reiterate this again. You also get On3 and Rivals full subscription. So in addition to getting full high school coverage, you're going to get all the college pages as well. So go and register, sign up with us, fourquarterfriday.com. We'll have it all next week. We got Intel today. We've got jamborees next week. So before we're back, there will be jamboree football.
That's right. Rob will be there at Woodruff for the jamboree Monday night. So when we come back to you, we will have seen more football. That's it for us. Inside the Gamecocks with Jamie Bradford is next. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you to everybody that supports us. Leading Edge, Bill Maloney, State Farm, HD Law. We brought you this from the HD Law Studios. Four Quarter Friday, fourquarterfriday.com, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.